Yes, good morning to you all. This is Daniel King again with Daily Inspiration. God bless you this beautiful morning. God has been faithful already this morning in His mercy that He has showed us and that He has given us a new day, a new chance to serve Him, be faithful to His desires and His will for us, and to follow through with the plans that He has for us. We can read in His Word that He has plans for each individual, each soul that lives here on this earth, and that He will be faithful in completing those plans if He can have our attention, if He can have our heart. And so it's safe to give our heart to Him and allow Him to follow through with those plans that He has for us. And we know that His ways and His desires for us are trustworthy. We know that they're not always our choosing, but we know that they're trustworthy and that He has our best interest in mind. Just as a continuation, I'd like to say I did not share yesterday morning, so usually what happens then is that the person from last month on that date will still be on. So I had shared on Sunday and Monday. So this is Wednesday now, so just in case you wondered what was going on there. But anyway, the last time I was sharing was on the healing of the soul, and I would like to continue a little bit with that, with one of the things that is always there, or is always part of the healing of the soul that God wants to do in our lives. And it's not possible to go through healing or to be restored in the soul, as the 23rd Psalm says, without pain and without a fire. And that's a little bit what I'd like to focus on this morning, is the fire that comes when we are being molded into the image that God desires us to be, even after we're born again. The fires do not necessarily go away. And in Hebrews, it is as it is in many times in God's Word. It's both a comfort and a warning, a kind of a twofold message oftentimes, that we have when we when we read God's Word, we realize that there's a twofold message. Oftentimes, kind of a comfort, or a comfort along with a warning on the contrast. And so, what I mean by that is, to the one who wants to walk in that, it's a comfort. But to the one who does not want to walk in that, it's a warning. And so, in Hebrews, it talks about Hebrews 12, verse 6, it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and He scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, there whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's Spirit and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Say, wherefore lift up your hands which hang down in the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest they, lest that is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. They follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And so I'm just kind of reading on and on there, but my point here is that without the fire of God, we cannot even expect, you know, that God is working in our lives, because that is so much part of God working in our lives, or the, you might say, the proof, perhaps, or the indication that God is working in our lives is because of the pain that we feel occasionally. Now, I don't want to paint a gloomy picture here. I do not believe that the Christian life is all about pain. All I'm saying is that the Christian life includes pain, according to this passage here. Well, we know here that it says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And so, I do believe that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy, and I'm not sure how all that fits together here, but I think a lot of people have it mixed up, where they go after the joy and are running from painful and hurtful things. But what happens then is that it's really not a true joy. A true joy comes after after that chastening work that God does in our life. And God puts us back together again. He makes us into something beautiful. Then we can experience true joy. And so it is the fire that the fires that we go through in our lives, and of course each man is different. Each man's battle, each man's trial in this life as a Christian is all different, and many a times what God wants us to do is to bring us to a place of brokenness where he can then mold us. And I know for me, it happens time and time again. I remember 14 years ago, this passage of Scripture was my favorite passage, because I was born again and met the Lord in just before I turned 21 in the fall, and had a very good winter, because I had a lot of things going for me. I had my sins forgiven. I had joy and peace in my heart. I was looking forward to the coming of Christ. I was no longer afraid to die. And I also had, I had friends. I had close friends. And I had things. Life was going for me that winter. But little did I realize what was ahead. But I thank God today for that. That following summer and on into the next winter and the following spring were very, were times of lots of fires in my life. And I thank God richly for that today. It has brought a depth to my faith in God that I don't think could have been achieved any other way. I remember that these verses were so precious over that time. It was a deep chastening that lasted well over a year. It was my first encounter with the chastening of God on my life. But it has not been my last. It has not been my last encounter. 14 years is that I have been walking with the Lord, 14, 15 maybe. And it has been a bittersweet thing, and I know we can all identify to that when we go through the chastening of God. And one thing I have learned, and I would like to encourage us all here, is to not shrink back when that happens, to not... it's not necessarily something that we choose or decide or ask for necessarily, although we ask for cleansing of the soul. It's not really something that you ask for. You don't really go into your prayer closet and say, God, I need fire today. I need pain today. It's not something you really do. But, you know, one thing we do say is, Lord, can you make me more like you? I want to be more like you, Lord. You know, I have some areas where I need help in. I have some areas that are bringing grief and shame to your name through the testimony of whatever I have, lack of victory in an area of my life. So we pray that God would meet us and that he would help us in that area. And then oftentimes God's way of dealing with that is, you know, in his loving way that he deals with us is to bring restoration and deliverance from that. But oftentimes, not always, oftentimes it includes some fire, sometimes more than others. It's not always the same. But the joy beyond that is what we want to focus on. It says here, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I think that if we think about that scene of Jesus today sitting at the right hand of God, it causes our hearts to rejoice. And, you know, especially if it's on the other side of the pain. And we all cringe at the story of crucifixion that Jesus had to walk through. The walk up there in the Garden of Gethsemane and realizing and looking into it and realizing that this is going to be a painful walk. It's not just going to be a stoning where he... you know, where we can get knocked unconscious, where Jesus could have gotten knocked unconscious and the rest of it would have been painless. But rather, he was kept conscious over the whole time until he died. And it was a long night and a long day. And he knew facing that if he walked up to that garden. And not only that, but he had the sins of the whole world upon his back. And the very people that he came to save were the ones he was now called. The very people that he came to save were the ones that were now bringing this pain. And in many ways, you know, I think we can feel for him, because oftentimes we speak, we say that we can forgive if the person apologizes and stops doing what he's doing. Jesus forgave even when the person kept right on doing what he was doing. And that's been a challenge to me. It's one of the things that I am learning in a deeper way, have a desire that God teaches me, and have at least in a small part a taste of, you know, so many times I have been walking in more of a retaliation mode, where you kind of wait to resolve a matter until the person apologizes and sees it's wrong. But I've come to see that that is not the road that Jesus walked, but rather he chose to forgive and to love and to return and extend love even to those that are hurting him. And I think that's what it means to be free of bitterness and allowing God to bring the judgment upon hearts and our job is just to love and forgive. And in order to do that, there's a tremendous fire that goes on in our lives, and it's a painful thing. But I think we can be comforted as we look on Jesus. It says here, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And that back to the point where Jesus now sits in the right hand of God, and the overwhelming picture of beauty that that brings to us as we think of the victory that was won in Christ, with Him being faithful and enduring unto the end. And then on the other side of the cross, He now is, every day He is reaping the joy of that suffering, in that every day there are more people coming to Him, partaking and receiving grace and forgiveness from the blood that was shed and that on that very scene. And that every day there's a homecoming in heaven of another soul that is. Of course, I'd like to say I don't know this for sure, but I just know with the amount of Christians that it would seem to me like every day there would be a, you know, on an average, let's say, a soul. But anyway, if you can just picture with me every day another soul, and of course sometimes groups of souls, as we know, you know, at times there's groups of Christians that enter into eternity, of a homecoming in heaven of the beauty of His suffering, or the reward of His suffering, the blood that He shed that was applied on these lives, and the reward of that as He's sitting on the right hand of His Father and observing the saints coming in, the saints coming marching in, and what a reward that is for Him. The same is true for us if we're faithful and do not shrink back from the fires that God has in our lives, or God puts in our lives. We can both receive healing through those here, also bring joy to our Father in heaven. And then in the end of it all, when we hear those blessed words, come, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And it will be well worth it all on that day, the other side of the cross, where we can be forever with the one who has led the way. So God bless you, and may you be encouraged to continue going in spite of the chastening rod that we may feel in our lives at times.